It's 10:15. Good morning. 67 degrees on the way up to about plus 20 from that. We should have a high of about 87 on this warm and windy fall day. We have music next about autumn, ultimately, by Alexander Glazunov. Support for all the great classical music this morning on Kansas Public Radio comes from the KU School of Music, inviting KU alumni to return to the 100th Annual Vespers Choir, singing alongside fellow alumni while commemorating a century of Vespers tradition. It'll be Sunday, December 8th. Details at music.ku.edu. And from the Lead Center, welcoming the classical trio of Edgar Meyer, Tessa Lark, and Joshua Roman, performing on bass, violin, and cello, Sunday, 2 p.m. Tickets are at lead.ku.edu. This is ballet music next. If you ever get a chance to see this, it's a great chance for some beautiful costumes full of color. This is by Alexander Glazunov from 1899, his ballet in one act and four parts, The Seasons. It's in the order of the seasons, but we'll begin with winter and then end with autumn.
Thank you.
ending with Autumn and All Its Glory. We've just heard ballet music by Alexander Glazunov from 1899, his Seasons, with the CBC Vancouver Orchestra here on Kansas Public Radio. We'll have a witch doll piece in the next hour, plus two different versions, well, two different composers, but they're both called The Enchanted Forest, and we'll hear the famous Danse Macabre at about 10 minutes before noon. Then the hour, played so well by Destiny Ann Mermegan and friends, Friday during Live Day. Thank you for supporting Kansas Public Radio to help us do things like Live Day here on KPR, just something that sets us apart from other stations. It's something we enjoy doing and having local musicians in and giving great performances. Next on Kansas Public Radio, we'll hear music by Astor Piazzolla. Support for the music today on KPR comes from KU's Spencer Museum of Art, now showing the exhibition Native Fashion, celebrating wearable artworks created by Indigenous people historically and today. Details at spencerart.ku.edu. La Muerte del Ángel, The Death of the Angel, by Astor Piazzolla, now on KPR. scintillating music by Astor Piazzolla, Death of an Angel, with the Naiho Garcia Piano Duo this morning on Kansas Public Radio. There will be three performances of Mozart's Requiem this weekend, Friday and Saturday and Sunday, with the Kansas City Symphony. Find out more about this concert featuring the Kansas City Symphony and the Kansas City Symphony Chorus, directed by Charles Bruffy, Mozart's Requiem. Find out more at tickets.kcsymphony.org. This is KansasPublicRadio.org. Remember, you can also find out more about our pieces on our website. We keep playlists running at KansasPublicRadio.org.
Harm reduction vending machines have begun popping up around the country with free items like clean needles or Narcan to curb overdoses and the spread of hepatitis C or HIV. Some critics say it's making cities more dangerous. Experts disagree.
No increase in crime rates, no increases in loitering, none of the general concerns that people have.
That story on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Hear more about that at 3 o'clock here on Kansas Public Radio. We're at 70 degrees already at 11 o'clock. It should be 87 today and breezy. Tonight, cloudy, low of about 70, warm night. Tuesday, sunny, a high of 82. Windy as well, bringing in a 30% chance for Tuesday night rain and thunderstorms. And then Wednesday, a rare prediction of 100% for rain on Wednesday. Showers and possibly a thunderstorm, but still pretty warm with a high of 73. 90% chance for rain blowing through Wednesday night and Thursday. Wow. Should be sunny with a high of 57. That sounds good. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence. KANH, KANH HD1 Emporia. KANV, KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City. Plus KANQ Chanute. They all make up KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. The presidential candidates are entering their final week of campaigning before the election. Vice President Kamala Harris is returning to the swing state of Michigan today. She was in Pennsylvania yesterday, rallying supporters in Philadelphia. Former President Donald Trump will make another pitch to voters later today in Georgia. NPR's Danielle Kurtzleben reports the Trump campaign is facing criticism after a series of controversial comments during a rally in New York City's Madison Square Garden last night.
Comedian Tony Hinchcliffe started the rally with remarks that included a joke referring to Puerto Rico as a, quote, floating island of garbage. Another speaker seemed to imply that Vice President Harris is a prostitute. All told, more than 4 hours of speakers preceded Trump. During his speech, Trump doubled down on recent comments, calling some Democrats the enemy from within and suggesting he'd use the military against them.
And when I say the enemy from within, the other side goes crazy, becomes a sound. Oh, how can he say? No, they've done very bad things to this country. They are indeed the enemy from within.
Trump is rallying supporters across swing states this week. Danielle Kurtzleben, NPR News, New York.
Several Puerto Rican artists are working to give the Harris campaign a boost following controversial remarks about the U.S. territory. NPR's Isabella Gomez Sarmiento has more.
Bad Bunny, Jennifer Lopez, Ricky Martin, and Luis Fonsi are all sharing a video of Vice President Harris discussing her commitment to Puerto Rico and its people.
There is so much at stake in this election for Puerto Rican voters and for Puerto Rico.
Puerto Ricans on the island cannot vote in the presidential election, but those living on the mainland can, and they represent a significant voting bloc in states like Pennsylvania, a crucial swing state. Isabella Gomez Sarmiento, NPR News.
Vice President Harris announced a new initiative to help support Puerto Rico's economy at a stop in Pennsylvania on Sunday before Trump's rally in New York City last night. NATO has confirmed North Korean troops have been sent to Russia to help in its invasion of Ukraine. Terry Schultz reports this new level of collaboration is causing a lot of concern among world leaders.
It's something we've been hearing from the Ukrainian and South Korean governments for some time, but then the U.S. and NATO would just say they didn't have evidence of it. And then last week, Defense Secretary Austin did confirm the U.S. believes at least 3,000 North Korean soldiers are in Russia, and he called it a very serious escalation. A couple of other European governments have now said their own intelligence reflects this.
That's Terry Schultz reporting from Brussels. Stocks are trading higher on Wall Street at this hour, the Dow up 237 points. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from Progressive Insurance, home of the Name Your Price tool, so drivers can see coverage options at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Good morning. This is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, from the University of Kansas. A little piece by Heitor Villa-Lobos, Witch Doll, in this Halloween week with Arthur Rubinstein at the piano. You have the power to make a lasting positive influence in your community through planned giving. If KPR has been important to you, please consider a planned gift to the station. For more information, contact your financial advisor or visit legacy.kansaspublicradio.org. We'll hear two musical creations about the Enchanted Forest in a bit, Francesco Gemignani's, but now by J. Mark Searcy, the Enchanted Forest Suite here on KPR, played by the Chicago Brass Quintet. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry about that. We just heard The Enchanted Forest Suite by Searcy, J. Mark Searcy, played by the Chicago Brass Quintet. I was actually across the hall talking with our engineer, Jason So, and listening to recordings from Live Day, and we were listening to Joe Parra. They played at the Lawrence Public Library just this past Friday, and just listening to how good they were, and everybody was, for Live Day. We hope you enjoyed it. It's just kind of one of the things that we do that sets us apart, and we do it for you. And thank you for contributing to KansasPublicRadio.org to make that all possible. Well, we've just heard The Enchanted Forest Suite by Searcy. Now let's go back a couple of hundred years. Let's go to the Italian Baroque era and hear Francesco Gemignani's setting of The Enchanted Forest here on KPR. A great piece for the week of Halloween. Camille Saint-Saëns, The Dance Macabre. That was Lauren Manzel, violinist with the National Orchestra of France. As played so nicely by Destiny and Mermaid Friday night as part of Live Day. You can hear some of Live Day last year with Destiny and Mermaid playing some great Halloween treats on our website. Just check the front page of KansasPublicRadio.org. Support for classical music on KPR comes from Delta Dental of Kansas, reminding listeners that dental health is closely linked to overall health and to visit a dentist regularly. Dentists can be found at deltadentalks.com/find. And now, here's the music by Francesco Gemignani, his musical telling of the story of The Enchanted Forest.
Thank you.
The Enchanted Forest, musically as told by Francesco Gemignani. John Elliott Gardner and the CBC Vancouver Orchestra here at 12 noon, KansasPublicRadio.org. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH, KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV, KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, plus KANQ Chanute. Support for news next on KPR comes from Stoneback Appliance in Lawrence, installing, servicing, and repairing the brands they sell and hauling away your old appliances. More at stonebackappliance.com, where they've got your back. And the Midwest Trust Center presenting Hyprov, starring Colin Mochrie and Asad Mekki, Sunday evening, combining hypnosis and improv for Hip-Prov for a totally unique live comedy experience. Details at jccc.edu/mtc. It's KPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. Vice President Kamala Harris is returning to the campaign trail in the key state of Michigan today. She's also responding to controversial comments made during one of the warm-up acts at former President Donald Trump's rally at Madison Square Garden last night. NPR's Tamara Keith reports the Trump campaign is trying to distance itself from the reference to Puerto Rico as a, quote, floating island of garbage.
Comedian Tony Hinchcliffe delivered the insulting joke while standing behind a lectern emblazoned with the Trump-Vance campaign logo. But a spokesperson was quick to say the joke doesn't reflect the views of the former president. Harris spoke to the media before boarding Air Force Two, saying Trump's event last night was only a more vivid display of his typical approach to politics.
Donald Trump spends full time trying to have Americans point their finger at each other. Fans the fuel of hate and division, and that's why people are exhausted with him.
Harris also briefly mentioned her plan to improve Puerto Rico's electric grid and infrastructure. Tamara Keith, NPR News.
During Trump's event in New York City last night, he rolled out a new proposal that includes a tax credit for people caring for family members. His plan came weeks after Kamala Harris offered a proposal of her own. Today, Trump will travel to the swing state of Georgia. He's expected to make one of his final pitches to voters in Atlanta. Recent polls show Trump and Harris locked in a tight race in the state. Trump won Georgia back in 2016, but Joe Biden narrowly beat him there in 2020, and the Trump campaign is trying hard to flip it back to red. Egypt is proposing a temporary ceasefire in Gaza and an exchange of some hostages and prisoners. NPR's Daniel Estrin reports no progress on a deal is expected until after the U.S. election next week.
Egypt's president this weekend proposed an initial two-day ceasefire and the exchange of four hostages in Gaza for an unspecified number of Palestinian prisoners in Israel. Egypt is proposing further steps toward a permanent ceasefire. Israel and Hamas have not officially responded to the proposal. The CIA chief and Israel's Mossad spy chief have met in Qatar to discuss these efforts. An Arab official in the region said Israel rejected the proposal. Another official briefed on the talks said Israel is considering the Egyptian proposal, but waiting for the results of the U.S. elections before moving forward. The official spoke anonymously to discuss the closed-door talks. More talks are expected this week. Daniel Estrin, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
Stocks continue to trade higher on Wall Street at this hour. The Dow is up 263 points. The Nasdaq Composite also trading higher, up 89. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from Arm. With the new podcast series, Tech Unheard, Arm CEO Rene Haas talks to tech company leaders like Jensen Huang and NVIDIA, who are working to help shape the future of computing. Available on all podcast platforms. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate, October 28th. There are many reasons you might feel tired, irritable, and headachy when you wake up in the morning. Illness, allergies, noisy neighbors. But you might also blame it on too much light, especially blue light. Looking at your phone or TV before bedtime can mess with your natural sleep cycle. Another source of trouble is outdoor lighting. Street lamps, billboards, car headlights, and other sources fill the night with light. That creates a dome of light over most cities and towns. A dome of sky glow. In fact, 99% of all Americans live beneath such a dome. The glow creates all kinds of problems. It prevents us from seeing the wonders of the universe. It can endanger wildlife, and many studies have shown that it can endanger our health as well. That's especially true with bluer light. Those wavelengths activate the receptors in the eye that we use most during the day. So they're telling your body that it's daytime, not night. Exposure to bright outdoor lighting can suppress the body's production of melatonin. That's a hormone that plays an important role in the immune system, the health of several major organs, and the body's natural rhythm. In particular, it can cause you to lose sleep or to have a poor night's sleep. Experts recommend reducing the amount of outdoor light pollution and making sure that street lamps have a warmer glow, helping everyone to get a good night's sleep. More tomorrow. For the University of Texas at Austin McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Support for Stardate on KPR comes from KU Theater presenting Hookman, a darkly comic salute to teenage slasher films, reminding everyone that college can be scary. Playing Friday through Thursday, November 7th. Tickets at KUTheater.com.
Thank you.
mentioned there from the many volumes of solo piano music that make up the Spanish masterpiece Iberia by Isaac Albéniz, an orchestration of one of the movements from Book Two, known as Triana, played by the Chicago Symphony Orchestra under Fritz Reiner on Kansas Public Radio, your place for NPR news, classical music as well. With the latter, I'm Jeff Watson with the latter to share as the afternoon hours come on. And in this noon hour, the Slovak Radio Symphony Orchestra will take us through an exciting collection of English folk dances put together by Ernest Tomlinson and the Bingham String Quartet, with music of Boccherini, the famous Fantango Quintet for guitar, all in just a bit. Thanks for joining us for classical music on a Monday afternoon. This month's KBR Community Spotlight is on Cherry Street Youth in Chanute, a Christian-based ministry formed to help develop children emotionally, spiritually, physically, and academically, with after-school classes in gardening, cooking, art, and more. Details at cherrystreet.org. We're joined next by the Berner Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Johannes Moesus and violinist Ingolf Turban, for some music by one who was a contemporary of composers like Schumann and Franz Liszt, a student of Felix Mendelssohn, and later director of the Leipzig Vondaus Orchestra after Mendelssohn. We'll hear music of composer Karl Reinecke and a romance for violin and orchestra next on KBR.
from the 19th century German composer Karl Reinecke, a romance for violin and orchestra in A minor, put on for us by the Berner Symphony Orchestra under conductor Johannes Moesus, violinist Ingolf Turban as well, on Kansas Public Radio, where it is 12:23. In the second half of the hour, we await the Slovak Radio Symphony Orchestra, the wonderful collection of English folk dances from composer Ernest Tomlinson. We'll enjoy those in a little over 15 minutes' time. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Topeka Symphony presenting Puttin' on the Ritz with Rimsky-Korsakov's Procession of the Nobles and Grieg's Piano Concerto performed by Cheung Park on Saturday. Tickets at topekasymphony.org. And the Kansas Health Foundation, helping organizations and individuals confront complex issues to make progress on health rankings in Kansas. Learn more at kansashealth.org. Here at the KU campus, it is 76 degrees. We're on our way to a high of 86 with sunny skies and quite breezy as well. Winds from the south gusting up to 45 miles an hour. Breezy tonight, partly cloudy, the low of 69. Next up on KPR is music of Luigi Boccherini, that great towering Italian figure of the 18th century. Some chamber music of his that was put together from elements of his earlier two cello quintets, a guitar quintet known as Fandango. This is something that he wrote for a French nobleman to be used in special chamber music events that were to be held in Madrid, and that's why it is known as Fandango, as it contains flamenco and Spanish-style dances. Guitarist Jason Carter with the Bingham String Quartet, next on KPR. Thank you. Jason Carter with the Bingham String Quartet with Fandango in D. Luigi Boccherini's Guitar Quintet, number 4, on Kansas Public Radio. 12:41 here at the KU campus, a little under 20 minutes until NPR News at the top of the hour. The holiday season swings with KPR's Big Band Christmas coming up on Saturday night, December 14th at Liberty Hall. The Kansas City Jazz Orchestra will be on hand once more to provide some Big Band hits and Christmas favorites, too. Tickets are on sale now at the Liberty Hall box office and Ticketmaster.com. Made possible in part by Dr. Stephen H. Chronister, Healing Smiles of Topeka. We have for you next the Slovak Radio Symphony, conducted by Ernest Tomlinson, who is the composer of the music that we'll hear. Tomlinson was a great early 20th century English composer of the light music style, whose music was a constant presence on BBC radio in the early 20th century. We'll enjoy one of two suites of English folk dances, the second of English folk dances, next with the Slovak Radio Symphony on KPR.
Thank you.
the second suite of English folk dances from composer Ernest Tomlinson, who in that recording was conductor of the Slovak Radio Symphony Orchestra here on Kansas Public Radio. It's 1 p.m. and about time for NPR News, followed by the next hour of music, which will bring us the second piano trio by Brahms, as well as the Oslo Philharmonic and the Fountains of Rome, music of Respighi. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. K210 CR in Atchison, 89.9. And K258BT in Manhattan, 99.5. And always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. With about a week until Election Day, some 35 million voters around the country have already cast their ballots early. NPR's Hansi Lo Wang reports election and postal service officials are urging mail-in voters to return their ballots as soon as possible to avoid having them rejected.
If you're planning to vote by mail, the Postal Service is urging you to check your state's deadline and return your ballot at least 1 week before that date, which may be coming up very soon now that the last day of voting is about 1 week away. Absentee voters could also consider turning in their ballot at their local election office or at any available drop box. Today is the last chance for eligible voters in Colorado and Washington to sign up online to vote in this election. Those who miss this deadline can still register in person through Election Day. There's also time to sign up in person in the swing states of Michigan, Nevada, and Wisconsin. But Wisconsinites, take note, you can get registered at your municipal clerk's office through Friday or wait to register and vote at the polls on November 5th. Hansi Lo Wang, NPR News.
The decision by the Washington Post not to endorse a presidential candidate in the upcoming election is prompting many readers to cancel their subscriptions in protest. The paper's returning to its practice of almost a half century ago when it did not endorse candidates for president. Marty Barron spoke to NPR today. He's a former top editor of the Post.
Decision had been made 3 years ago, 2 years ago, maybe even a year ago. That would have been fine. It's a certainly reasonable decision. But this was made within a couple of weeks of the election. And there was no substantive, serious deliberation with the editorial board of the paper. It was made for, clearly made for other reasons, not for reasons of high principle.
That decision was made by the paper's owner, billionaire Jeff Bezos, after the editorial board had already drafted an endorsement of Vice President Harris. Public school students in Asheville, North Carolina, are returning to class today, about a month after Hurricane Helene devastated the region. Laura Hackett with Blue Ridge Public Radio reports.
Schools in Asheville have had to restore power and internet and figure out a workaround to a city water system that still cannot deliver clean drinking water. Now that they're reopening, educators are greeted with a new challenge, making up for 20 days of missed classes. School board member Amy Ray hopes to get some tutors.
I hope at this point that we would be able to find donors to help us pay for just really robust tutoring.
Educators are also preparing for a surge of mental health struggles among students and staff. For NPR News, I'm Laura Hackett in Asheville, North Carolina.
On Wall Street, the Dow was up 306 points. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from Fisher Investments. Fisher is committed to helping clients stay on track to reach their financial goals and enjoy a comfortable retirement. FisherInvestments.com. Investing in securities involves the risk of loss. We're live. We're local. We are Kansas Public Radio. Now, there's music from a French composer, but if it sounded like it had more than a little of the sound of Spain to it, that's no accident. The music was by French composer Emmanuel Chabrier and something that he wrote in the year of 1883. In the late 19th century, there was always a great appreciation in French musical societies for the sound of Spain, and in 1883, Chabrier and his wife took a trip full of good humor, cheer, and keen observation throughout the Spanish countryside, inspiring him to create that rhapsody for orchestra known as Espana. Charles Dutoit and the Montreal Symphony Orchestra getting things started in this 1 o'clock hour of KPR's Classical Music. It's good to be with you for it. I'm Jeff Watson, and a little bit later on, the Oslo Philharmonic Orchestra brings us one of three famous suites of Ottorino Respighi, all about the life and character of the city of Rome. We'll hear the Fountains of Rome in a little bit on Kansas Public Radio. Support for classical music comes from the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Information about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu. Next on KPR is some music that was written right around the same time as the last piece we just heard, music from Johannes Brahms, and some chamber music that he began writing in the year of 1880, one of his piano trios, which would turn out to be his second. He started writing this in 1880, but took a few years off to create a whole piano concerto, as well as a symphony. But about 2 years later, he completed the piece after receiving one last crucial piece of the puzzle, which was the approval of Clara Schumann. Brahms had been Robert Schumann's great student and had been greatly indebted to the Schumann family, with great admiration for them ever since. Today we'll hear the second piano trio played by violinist Itzhak Perlman, cellist Lynn Harrell, and at piano Vladimir Ashkenazy, next on KPR.